You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Under the existing law, young people have a right to learn te reo. Actually, this helps because, you know, some people will say that there hasn't been the resourcing there, and what we're doing by providing $160 million for young people to have the opportunity to learn a second language, in my view, it's going to lead to more young people learning te reo.
And so also let's talk about national standards. So the National Party is proposing that these get expanded. Do you believe this standardised approach is the right way to lift achievement in primary schools?
I do. I think if we look at what our record is in terms of some of our most vulnerable children, but also Māori and Pacifica students, we've seen huge lifts in achievement. That means that their prospects in life are much improved. And one of the reasons we've been able to lift achievement is we've known where these kids are. I think it's incredible that the Labor Party are saying they're going to scrap national standards without knowing what the system is they're going to replace it with. And we've said, no, we want to do better. We actually want parents to have more information at a more granular detail of how kids are doing. We've got to work with teachers around how we manage that in terms of workload. I'm confident with good investment in ICT tools that we can actually, you know, potentially even reduce the workload. But look, I think it's a really exciting announcement for New Zealand. It's going to lift achievement.
Some are saying, though, that it's quite an assessment-heavy approach and that there's less time for other things, such as other subjects that aren't, you know, those core literacy, numeracy subjects, that it creates less time to focus on a diverse range of learning for these young children.
Well, that's what people have previously said the criticism is of national standards. So the whole point of these announcements is that actually we can build out the tools around National Standards Plus to include other subjects. So actually, you know, one of the whole points of this is to expand out to other subjects. And then the second thing is, if you look at this alongside our language announcements, I think we're showing a very balanced approach. Core foundational skills and numeracy, literacy, digital literacy, but then also investing in our culture.
And so another issue that it's not only primary schools but also secondary schools as well are facing this, that there's, you know, a bit of a teacher shortage and that a teacher has, it's not really a desirable career path. How do we change this?
Well, look, I think if you look at the overall numbers of teachers, we've actually got about right. So people who say that we're massively in short overall, it's not correct. I think we have about 100,000 teachers in New Zealand. What the issue is that we have shortages in particular areas, so science teachers, Auckland and geographical areas. I've announced about $20 million in investment. We had this situation back in 2007-2008 to address this. Everything from voluntary bonding expansion to relocation grants for expats to more scholarships. So, you know, it is a delicate balance because if we go too far the other way and we have too many teachers, then people won't be able to get work.
But, I mean, I did speak to the president of the PPTA yesterday and he did say that a lot of teachers new to the career pathway, a huge proportion of them were leaving within the first 5 years and that there was this skew towards teachers who were over the age of 60. I mean, that they have this data to back this up. So it is definitely a problem that schools in New Zealand are facing.
Well, look, I think what is true is that the Ministry hasn't had a good workforce development strategy to look at some of these issues of retention, not only look at what the graduates are, not only look at how we attract people to the profession in terms of careers development, but also look at those issues of retention. And I'm confident that the work that's going on now can improve the situation. I think that it won't be one single thing. It's looking at not only how we attract people in, but also workload issues, of which I've got a piece of work underway at the moment.
And so also on that note of secondary schools, let's talk about NCEA. So earlier in the week on The Wire, we heard from multiple critics who kind of were saying the same thing, that the system has created more paperwork for teachers, less time for learning, and that kids are attempting to just gain credits as opposed to thinking about how they can best learn. Have you heard these responses from teachers yourself, and are you doing something to fix it?
Yeah, we are. So a couple of things. The first is I have got a project that's looking at how we can ensure that more of this work is online so that we reduce workload. So that's reducing the administrative burden. In terms of the overall approach to learning, I mean, we're seen as quite world leading in terms of some of our systems. We do absolutely encourage teachers to be focusing on those core skills of critical thinking and problem solving. You know, what is actually the process around learning? But at the same time, we need to have a system whereby young people get qualifications, and that's why NCEA exists. And I'm confident if we continue to invest to reduce that administration, then we can resolve most of these issues.
And so when I talked to multiple people yesterday on the wire, and they all kind of said we've got this 85% pass rate that schools are required to have for level 2 NCEA students, and that kind of had this flow and effect of teachers, you know, taking somebody out from a close reading assessment and pushing them towards something like a static image, which was more visual and they could pass that, but then that didn't really help them learn, you know, basic literacy skills. So what about those sorts of issues? So we've got the paperwork issue that you're trying to help with making it digital, but what about those fundamental issues with getting kids over the line and that actually impacting on literacy levels?
Well, look, I think there's a couple of issues that you've raised. The first is no government has done more to lift literacy and numeracy in terms of investment programs like Accelerating Mathematics, and we're campaigning on this election $126 million more for mathematics. And the whole reason we're able to invest more in those foundational skills separate to NCEA is because we know where these kids are under national standards. Again, a big choice at this election, the left want to scrap the system without having something to replace it, which I think is actually pretty irresponsible. So I'm confident we're investing more than ever in those foundational skills separate to NCEA. But, you know, we constantly look at our system and we evolve it. And that's what some of my announcements have been about in the last sort of week. So I'm always open to further ideas if we think that we can continue to improve via NZQA, and I'll keep listening to those concerns.
So what about scrapping that 85% pass rate for level 2?
No, because what that is about is actually ensuring that thousands more children leave our schools being able to read and write and do maths. And we unashamedly put targets in place, because actually what we want is every child to get there. And we know that when we do put some of those targets in place, people focus very significantly at the grassroots level. So no, we're not getting rid of the targets, because that's thousands more kids with more futures, basically.
So you don't think that teachers are pushing kids towards things that they can pass, which might be detrimental to their ability to get literacy? I mean, I've heard multiple stories from people saying the same thing yesterday, was that teachers are making these decisions to meet this pass rate, which then in turn has effect on people being able to write and read properly.
The evidence of that. So if someone is raising that, then they would have to provide evidence of that, because we work in a system for which children and young people decide what they're going to study. So again, if you've got evidence of that, then you can give that to me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.